Hello and welcome back to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet, where we are celebrating the return of a flat. Yes, the Grand National might be a week away, but we're going to turn all our attention to the stuff on the level, with the Lincoln being the highlight of five races across action at Doncaster. We'll also be going to Kempton, where we've got three races on the all weather, including the return of O'Sheen Murphy featuring there. Let's get straight into it. Our panel today is Graham Rodway in the top right, handicapper Johnny Pearson bottom left, and in the other corner, Brett Williams. Where, Brett, I touched on the Grand National next week. We're going to have a Grand National special, usual time, 7 p.m. You've got a little insight for the Grand National. Where have you been this afternoon?
Yeah, you have to excuse my current setting here. But yeah, I was just on my way back from Sam Thomas, who of course has got a good string assembled to go to Aintree this year. He's just worked a couple at Ryan Potter's stable just outside Ross-on-Wye. Celtic Dino, who set for the 2.5 mile handicap there, and also Steel Ally, of course, who was a winner at Haydock earlier on this season. So he could have some nice chances going there. And I also saw Our Power. His aim is going to be the Scottish Grand National up at Ayr in what, 2 weeks' time? So yeah, so could be quite an exciting time for Sam.
Exactly. We're not quite done with the jumps yet. Anyway, we've got loads to look forward to in April. But let's go on the flat. It's the big day at Doncaster, where the ground is good to soft in places at time of recording on Thursday afternoon. And let's start with a nice easy one, the 1:15, the William Hill bet £10, get £10, EBF Brockleby Stakes. It is the 5 furlong dash. We've never seen any of them before. It's the first two-year-old race of the year. Johnny Pearson, who's win? Who wins it?
I mean, you can take your Grand Nationals. This is the race everyone wants to win. I think the Boron Bullet's going to have a chance here, obviously, because we've got zero form to go off. But Bill Turner's won the race six times. And he came second in the race. He had a second place for runner in the race last year with a 50-1 shot. He's got Billy Lock name booked up. I think the price is worth an each way shout. But, you know, obviously, I'm going off as much as anyone else looking through the card here. But I think he's got to have a chance.
Yeah, we'll just go through the prices that have just landed. We've got Norman's K at 2-1, Camo Chameleon 11-4, Archibald Ives 9s, Kanishka 11s, along with the Boron Bullet, Johnny's selection, and Sucking Diesel at 11-1, Mighty Vega 12-1, and Bar the Rest. Graham, you might not have a strong fancy in this. Just give us an inclination as to you as the top tipster you are. What do you look for in 2-year-olds? How do you assess things a little bit differently, or just approach it exactly the same?
I think that obviously it's a complete guessing game, isn't it, James? I do tend to place a lot of stock in trainers when it comes to juveniles. And the two at the top of the market here, Norman's K and Come on, Chameleon. They're the
you
first
come and go, you come and go.
Oh, that they're trained by trainers who have won the race with one runner in the last 10 years. So Richard Hannon won it with his only runner, Persian Force, who was, of course, in the same colours as Norman's K. And Karma Chameleon.
Not again.
Dylan Kenyon's runner. He won it with his sole runner last year. The problem is, of course, is that the bookmakers have obviously used the same logic that I have, James, because they've gone and put them both in as the two favourites, and they're massive prices against the rest. So I could quite easily see them both drifting, depending on what sort of market confidence is behind them. Total guessing game, but I absolutely love Come a Chameleon's name.
Okay, we can only apologise to listeners for the vocals there. Brett, you're on harmony in that. I don't know if I can call it a performance, but whatever it was. I mean, you've got a strong view on the race.
Well, as you said, there's no form to go on. So the betting is obviously going to be crucial. I'd imagine if you wait till sort of half an hour or an hour before the off time, you will see a lot of movement for various horses. The obvious ones, as you've already alluded to, are trainers that have had winners in this race before. And it's, you know, if you look back at the Roll of Honour, there's been some decent horses that have won it. You know, Hearts of Fire, the Mark Johnson horse, the last line who went on to win the Middle Park. I mean, there aren't many horses that start off at this time of year and end up winning in October. Persian Force obviously won it for the Hannons. They've got the favourite in this year's race. I did try to get hold of Richard before recording this today, because there will be a brand new blog from Richard coming out tomorrow. So we'll get his full thoughts on Norman's K. I haven't had a chance to find out what he thinks of it, but the fact that, you know, he's obviously shown plenty of the fact they've got him out at this stage. But no, it's a wide open race. Mighty Vega would be one you'd have to put in into the mix as well. Philemos D'Souza, of course, the partner of Amy Weaver. She's obviously out in France. He's doing a lot with the two-year-olds here. So that could be quite significant. And I think probably Holly Doyle is something you've got to bear in mind, the fact she's on board as well. But as I said, we know nothing about the form. So it's just a case of follow the betting, I think, is the best way to go with it.
Okay, well, luckily we've got things a bit simpler here because we've got the 150 at Doncaster, the William Hill top price guarantee, Spring Mile, where we are 7-1 the field. A real cracking handicap there. So I'll spin through the market quickly. Nay Point at the top of betting at 7-1. Pressure's On, 15-2. Oceans of Dreams, 17-2. Free 10-1 shots, Meow, Ah Havana and Promethean. Look Back Smiling and Spirit of a Clam at 11-1. A proper race, G-Rod, this. What do you think is going to win it?
Yeah, love these sorts of races, James. I mean, I'll be one of the many people who's welcoming the back the flat with wide open arms. I quite fancy the one that was favourite there, Nay Point. Appeared to be going forward really quickly last season. I think he's bidding to make it 4 wins in the last 5 or something like that. He's certainly coming in on the back of 2 in a row and looked better than ever on soft ground last time at Redcar. The trainer, Ed Bethel, won this with Artistic Rifles a few years ago and has probably had the race in mind. Of course, he didn't get in the link and none of these did. It's the consolation. But, yeah, I expect he'll have this this one right round up first time. The interesting thing is, what would the ground be like here? I know they're giving it as good to soft in places, the officials up at Doncaster. But, I mean, I haven't seen the drop of rain for about nearly 2 weeks now. And it's got to be questionable whether it's going to be on the soft side of good, but you can only go with what they're giving. And if it is on the soft side of good, that will suit Nay Point because he won on soft ground last time.
Yeah, as we say, Thursday afternoon, this is the time of recording. With the weather forecast, you'd imagine it's going to, the ground will be a little bit faster than as we are at the time of recording. Johnny, what do you like?
I remember actually a year ago, I tipped up Look Back smiling for this race, and he went and got the job done for Gemma Tutty. He's in the race again this year, racing off a pound lower, same trainer. She's in fair form at the start of the season. I think he's got to have a good chance again. But then I was looking through the four-year-olds and thinking, right, which four-year-olds actually might have less exposure, a bit more wiggle room in the handicap mark, so to speak. And Ah Havana sticks out like a sore thumb. He won by 5.5 lengths at Southall earlier on in the month. He's got £5 extra here. All weather marks now being put up to 96. He's running off 88. He could be really well thrown in for Richard Farhu's stable. And he's got to be a good each-way bet here. So I'm going to back a pair of them. And I think that you're going to get a good run for your money from both.
Two shouts for Johnny. Brett?
We are paying an extra place each way in this, which just makes it a little bit easier if you're looking at punting. Just to go back to Nay Point, I think it's significant as well. I think this is his first run since being gelded as well, which is quite surprising. Bearing in mind he's sort of been winning, you know, some nice races. You wouldn't think they'd need to do that operation, but clearly they feel that would aid him. So I think that could be quite interesting. But I like Oceans of Dreams here for Archie Watson and Holly Doyle. Used to be with Aidan O'Brien. Finished fourth in what was those sort of big valuable maiden races there. That was a solid effort on good ground. Has won over this trip as well. Got the cheap pieces on, I should say, for the first time. I just think it could be very interesting in a race which, as you've already alluded to, is extremely open at the top of the betting. You really can make a case for plenty of them. But I do like the top two. I do think it looks between Nay Points, but I'm going to go for Ocean of Dreams.
We move on to our third race, the 225 at Doncaster, William Hill. Best odds guaranteed. Cammage Stakes over 6 furlongs. A real good inclination towards the start of a proper season with some of the good sprinters out here. And at the top of the betting, we have James Delight at 11-4 for Clive Cox. We know how good he is with his sprinters. Marshman having a good season on the all-weather at 100-30. Spycatcher, another one for Carl Burke at 9-2. Witness Stand at 11-2. Iberian at 15-2. And Al Shabaab Storm at 9-1. Graham, you're quite hot on one here, aren't we?
Yeah, really fancy one in this. Iberian for me. Go back and do yourself a favour. Watch this horse win the Champagne Stakes at the track 2 seasons ago. And he quickens up really smartly to beat horse called Someway, who went on to win a Group 1 and was placed in the King George last year. The third that day was Rosalian, who was the champion miler last year. And the fourth was Mountain Bear, who went on to finish second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf that year. So, I mean, he won a red-hot running of the Champagne Stakes at the track and did it impressively. Now, not all has gone to plan for Iberian since. He's obviously had his problems, but he came back after wind surgery last time at Savile, and he did well to win. He really stuck his head down and beat a horse, I think, that's come out and won since. That should have put him spot on for this. He's obviously got that run over the winter behind him, and I reckon that the return to Doncaster, we might just see him return to the sort of form that we saw when he did win here that Champagne here 2 years ago. If he reaches those levels, they will not see which way he goes.
Okay, a big shout at 15-2. Johnny?
I'm going to tentative each way play and witness stand here. He's a bit disappointed at the end of last season, but in good form through most of the summer. Disappointed in the Kingdom Saudi Arabia in February, but he has had a run. He's been away and got some winter sun on his back, which can only be a positive as far as I'm concerned. And I think he looks a big price. You know, not all of these have had a run yet. And he's got a chance of placing. I'm not, you know, he needs to improve on what he's done recently. But I don't like Marshmallow on turf particularly, so I'd be more than happy to take him on. I'm not convinced about Clive Cox's first time out necessarily, so I'd be wanting to take on players at the head of the market, and I think Witness Stand should have a chance.
Finally, Brett.
Yeah, I agree with everything that G-Rod said about Iberian. Obviously, he's a class horse in the race, and that run ahead of Rosalyn is obviously head and shoulders above anything else in this race. I just think at this stage of the season, it may just pay to side with a few horses that have been on the go and that are fit from running on the all-weather during the winter, which brings me to Al Shabaab Storm. I know he's probably got to step up a little bit, but he is dropping back in trip. Ran well enough in the Lady Wolfrina last time at Southall. And I just think with fitness on his side, I just think he could be quite interesting, you know, in a race where I think he's around 9-1 with Unibet, which, you know, isn't a bad sort of shot each way. And then obviously you've got Spycatcher there down the bottom for Carl Burke and James Doyle. He's got some real rock solid form, you know, placed in or finished sixth in the big champion sprint at Ascot. Again, that's solid form. You know, if he's fit, I certainly can make a case for Spycatcher. But I agree, I think the favourite is the one they've all got to catch. But I just think first time out may pay to side with a horse which's got fitness on his side, which puts me towards Al Shabaab Storm.
Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Doncaster, the William Hill Doncaster Mile Stakes. And you may remember this race 12 months ago, Charon won it before going on to have the most brilliant of seasons over a mile. So perhaps this will be the launch pad for the next big miler. At the top of the betting is Liberty Lane, the Cambridgeshire winner at 9-4, Dancing Gemini 5-2, Botanical 7-2, Point Linus 8-1, Witch Hunter, friend of the postcast, is our Witch Hunter at 8-1, Chip Columbine at 12-1, Check and Challenge 14, Savvy Victory 28, and Noble Order, the rank outsider at 150-1 with Unibet. Let's go straight back to you, Brett. Are we going to see another Charon this year, do we think?
Probably not, but it's a decent race in its own right. I mean, I've written on my notes, Trap It really is. I think you can make a case for quite a few of them here. I've always been a big fan of Dancing Gemini. You've got Botanical, who's having its first run since a wind up. And then you've got Sheik Columbine, who's got a wind up, who's had a wind up and has got a tongue tie. So it's a very, very tricky affair. Witch Hunter ran well last time. Was it the Lincoln trial at Wolverhampton he ran? Anyway, ran well, stayed on like he always does. Could be significant that Rich is running him in this race in a conditions event rather than in the Lincoln, where, of course, he would have carried top weight. So that's got to be something you can take and trust. I quite like Botanical, but I don't think the ground's going to be soft enough for him. I agree again with G-Rod. There's been no rain around, so how it's going to be good to soft in places, I do not know. But obviously, I'm not a clerk of the court. But I'm going to go for Point Linus just to throw another one in there into the mix. Got the hood, Callum Rodriguez, Ed Bethel's got some rock solid form. And again, we look at horses that are fit from been running through the winter. This horse has been over in Doha, and you often find horses that sort of winter in the sunshine. They come back here, and first time is the time to catch them. So at a biggish sort of price, I wouldn't put you off Port Linus.
Okay, G-Rod, we're dealing with a little bit of group form, a little bit of top class handicap form. It's difficult to assess how these sort of match up, isn't it? Especially as we expect, it's not a big field handicap. It could be a bit of a trappy affair.
Yeah, very, very much so. I must admit, I do prefer sort of proven pattern listed form over handicaps, because, you know, horses can achieve big ratings in handicaps, like Liberty Lane, for example, winning off big weight. But I do think it is a step up going in against better opposition. And Liberty Lane did, of course, come a cropper when He was beaten by the impressive lead artist when he was stepped up into group company last time at his favourite course, Newmarket. Now, he has run well here, hasn't he? He was close, I think, second, wasn't he, here last season. But I thought he was worth taking on at the price, that's for sure. I like the one that Brett gave a short mention to, Chic Columbine. I think that she's a very good horse when she's fresh. And this race, like all the races this weekend, won't necessarily be won by the best horse. There'll be won by the horse that's most ready. And I like horse that like Chic Columbine, who's coming in off a break and has a really good record off a break. I think she's won twice fresh, including last year in France on a seasonal return in March when she bolted up in a listed race. Didn't really go on from that, but must have had her problems because she's had wind surgery, the slapping the tongue strap on, and she's won at the track. I think she's a big old price, Chic Columbine. So I'll be taking a chance on her being right fresh.
At 12-1, and interesting to see, looking at the screen there, that when you mentioned that importance of being able to be ready and wanting a horse that's fresh early on the season, you got a nod of approval from all three of us, do you, Rod? It doesn't always happen on the podcast, but clearly quite an important factor in this early season of a flat season. Johnny, just before we come on to your selection, I mentioned there about the handicap form, group form. What is it you as a handicapper will look for? Are you looking at proven group race form as a different entity? Do you see the potential of these sort of group horses in handicaps? How do you assess it?
I sort of tend to think, you know, if they've been running in group ones and they're dropping in class, the chances are they should be performing better, not performing better in a low grade, but they've got a lot more in the favour. They'll be against lesser horses in theory. So they should be able to finish a bit closer to the front, so to speak. But, you know, some group races are really poor. Some listed races are terrible. And you've got to weigh them up on their merits. But, and that's sort of one of the, when I was assessing this race, that was one of the things I was looking at. And I saw landing on Dancing Gemini. You know, last season, was only ran five times, all bar one of those in a group one, which can't be the same, but he said, for the rest of the field here. And I think the drop in grade here should go well. I mean, I think his best performance last season was on soft ground at Longchamp in the French Guineas first time out. And I think that there's a lot in his favour. I think he should really be going close to winning this. For all Liberty Lane, yes, as a, you know, he's been winning those handicaps last season. I think he's going to have to take a significant step up again. Or you can look at Newmarket run behind a lead artist. He was beaten that day. And I know Dancing Gemini didn't win last season, but I really do like the drop in class there and think he should run very well.
Let's move on to our feature race this weekend. The 3:35 at Doncaster, the William Hill Lincoln, the big early flat season highlight. Before we go on to the jumps, back over jumps, and where we've got the favourite Midnight Gun at 5-1, of course, second over the course and distance last time. Maybe that's a bit of a clue that they were aiming him at the Lincoln for his first start. James Dore for Wafnan Racing at 5-1. Thunder Run, 6-1, a Native Warrior, another one for Wafnan at 7-1. Latam, second 12 months ago. Tuami Sun, 12-1 for David Minutia, won this race 2 years ago with Migration. Oliver Show, 12-1. Godwinson, 12-1. Orandi, looking to do the Irish Lincolnshire English Lincoln double, also at 12-1, along with Old Cock, who gets in at the bottom of the weights. Graham, what wins the Lincoln?
I'm going to go with last year's winner again, Mr. Professor. Just on a similar argument to what I just gave for Chic Columbine. Has got a very good record when fresh, won this first time out last season. Totally lost his way afterwards. However, he has dropped back in the weights to a mark only £4 higher than when successful last season. So he's starting to look well handicapped again. And I was looking at a piece the other day, which Harry Wilson wrote. I think he was on the podcast last week, wasn't he? Yeah, our debutant.
Yes, yeah.
And he, you know, he was running through the draw. And he noted that five of the last 10 run-ins that were run on good soft or good ground went to horses who were drawn 15 or higher. So if, as we're expecting, it does dry out a little bit and it's no worse than good to soft, a high draw might just be the place to be. And Mr. Professor's got that in stall 22. So a good price, James. I reckon we could be in for the first repeat winner since 1958 of the Lincoln, Mr. Professor.
Who would have thought? Ed Nicholson has come back and joined us on the show for a bit of vintage.
He was probably there, wasn't he? Ed, he probably watched that. He probably saw that live.
He'll know who was second, third, fourth, and fifth. You can guarantee.
Yeah, no comment there. I'm certainly not going to go there. We've got a handicapper on the show. Who's going to win the big handicap?
Funny enough, I thought we were going to have a repeat winner last year, but then my selection decided that he didn't actually want to race and refused. So let's hope that doesn't happen for you this time, Rodders. Well, I think this is quite an easy race to work out. Whipcrack for Richard Hughes wins this race. Had a nice spin round Wolverhampton a couple of weeks ago. Finished behind Symbol of Light, who's either come out and won again or won before that. A really strong looking piece of form for this time of year on all weather that form. 4-year-old Richard, like in a race like this, there's a lot more upside than downside, I find. Ground won't be a problem. Richard Hughes' horses are running really well. But I'm really, really confident about this. I just think he'll win.
Wow, confidence. 14-1 is Whipcracker at the time of recording. Brett?
That's a bold shout, Christ, and 100-runner handicap. Fair play. I hope it does well. We're paying six places each way, so that hopefully is a good way to get involved in the race. Obviously, Orand is the one you've got to pay quite close attention to. Ross O'Ryan riding for Tony Martin here, one of the Irish Lincolnshire last time, gets him up for £5 penalty. The other one who is very well handicapped, probably got to find it a little bit, is number eight, Orn, for John and Thady Gosden. Luke Catton takes £5 off his horse's back. He's massively well handicapped if you look at some of his previous form. I think he basically, with the jockey's claim, he's competed off 92. So he could certainly go well, although probably would want the ground a little bit softer. Which brings me to Magnus Opus, who's around 16-1 with Unibet for Simon and Ed Crisford. Been running over in Maidan and winning on fast ground. You want to sort of quit the ground is out there. Again, the ground's going to be a bit of a question mark at Tanmore this weekend if it's not going to be rock hard, but I don't think it's going to be that soft as well. And I think, again, fit from the flat. You see horses come over from the Middle East, a bit of sun on their back, just revitalises them a little bit and, obviously going to bring the sunshine back with him. So at a bit of a price each way, Magnus Opus for me in a race, as I said, where we are paying six places each way.
Right. We will be looking at Kempton after the break, where Oisin Murphy, no sign of him at Doncaster. He's got some good rides at Kempton. There's some quality racing on the all-weather. And who better to discuss the all-weather racing than Graham Wadway, of course, who is at Chelmsford over Cheltenham, famously. So join us after the break for Kempton. Okay, we move on to Kempton, where the ground is standard to slow. Three races on the all-weather, starting with the 205, the Virgin Bet Queen's Prize handicap over 2 miles, potentially a few clues here for the Chester Cup and all those big handicaps later on in the season. As it stands, we've got favourite Cambu at 3-1, hoping to give Richard Hughes another winner, hopefully, if Johnny is correct, after Whipcracker before Whipcracker, in the Lincoln. Who's Glenn at 4-1? Oisin Murphy, as I mentioned, is riding there. Al Razine at 7s. Golden Rules back after a long layoff, 8-1. Cool Party, 8-1. And Metier at 10-1. Johnny, what's your opinion on the first at Kempton?
I don't have a strong opinion on it. I mean, on some of Cambu's form on the weather, he's going to have a great chance. And I know there's certain Racing Post tips, so he's got a double on Cambu and Whipcracker for the same owner at the weekend. For what it's worth, he goes by the name of Robbie Wilders. I think on the all-weather form, he's got to have a great chance. Look at that run at Newcastle in August. And that was a big performance. But then, obviously, he's been disappointing the last twice. He disappointed a couple of times before that. I'm not sure he's the most trustworthy horse, but I'd rather be with him than against him.
Okay. Graham, a bit of all-weather on ITV. It must be a joyous weekend in the Rodway household.
Yeah, I love a bit of all-weather. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, especially around Kempton. You'll see me sometimes there on a Wednesday night before my trip to Chelmsford on Thursdays, you know. So I initially didn't plan on giving one of this, but I have had a little bit more of a look at it, and Golden Rules is quite interesting on his best form. I mean, he was second in the Northumberland Plate 2 years ago, and he's got a win there where he'd been off from a similar absence. He's off a mammoth absence here, 637 days, but he's done it before. Like, he won here in March 2023, so the same month even, and that again was off nearly 2 years off the track. So we know he can do it. Robert Havlin's also quite an interesting booking because Thomas Faulkner trains it. It used to be with Deborah Faulkner, I presume it's the same yard. Havlin, yeah, got to be, hasn't it? And Havlin rode this horse when it was trained by John and Fady Gosden a few years back, so he knows Golden Rules quite well. So, yeah, having sort of initially not fancied much, suddenly one jumps out of you, and that's Golden Rules. And when that happens, James, when the, suddenly the light bulb goes off and someone jumps out of you, you should always take note.
Yeah, and you, listeners and viewers may remember this horse because the owner was very, very keen on him for the Northumberland Plate. It was on Sky Sports Racing saying this horse can't lose, this horse is going to win the Northumberland Plate. This huge gamble, and then only just touched off. So fingers crossed for Golden Rules can get his career back on track, and I'm sure Newcastle will probably be the target again. But a selection there for Graham. Finally, Brett.
Again, a real tricky race. I'd like to, you know, it's good to see the old sort of jumps horses in it, Metier and Tritonic. You'd imagine this might be a bit of a prep race for the Chester Cup for Metier, of course, who, you know, likes a lot softer ground. Tritonic is actually well handicapped, though. Finished placed in the race last year. He's much lower in the weights on this occasion, but he's obviously not getting any younger. So there are perhaps question marks with regards to him being vulnerable to an improver. Which brings me to Who's Glenn for Ocean Mirror. If you'd said there, he's got his first rise of the season there to, this weekend. And I think he could get off to a start here for Andrew Borden in the colours of George Strawbridge, a very smart sort. He handles soft ground on the turf. Obviously, this is a switch on your weather, but has also got some pretty smart form on the artificial surface. And yeah, despite being on a career high mark, I think there's a bit of improvement still to come. So Who's Glenn for me, and what's a, you know, an interesting little Queen's Prize.
Certainly is. 2.40 at Kempton, though, is the Virgin Bet every Saturday money bet. Rosebery handicap over mile and three, and another competitive betting handicap this weekend. Favourite is Mount Atlas for Andrew Balding and Hayley Turner at 9-2. Balmacara 11-2. Demetrius Fox 15-2. Max Mayhem 8-1. Grey Cuban 8-1. Calumet 8-1. And Paradisus at 10s for Alan King and David Prober. We don't see Ocean Murphy on the Balding favourite, Mount Atlas, Graham. Quite interesting. He's riding the horse for the Fox, the Leicester Chairman connections. I completely can't remember, forget their name. Mount Atlas, though, is the right favourite, do we think? Would you want to take him on?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a solid chance, hasn't he? I mean, he's got a little bit of all weather form there, which is a plus in a race like this where a lot of them are coming off of the turf. It's a strange one, isn't it, to see Oshin riding the other one. I can't really explain it. I mean, he rode Mount Atlas last time, didn't he? So maybe that should be taken as a pointer towards Demetrius Fox. But I thought the one to back was the one that won it 2 years ago, Max Mayhem. He won it for one of my favourite named trainers in Britain, Kevin Philippart de Foy. What a great name. I wish my name was Graham Philippart de Rodway. Yeah, that would just give me so much more kudos if I had a name like that. But anyway, yeah, he won it 2 years ago, and he was really impressive at Maidan only a couple of weeks ago for a new trainer, Hilal Kabazi. Very, very impressive. Absolutely bolted up in a handicap there. He's I think he's £9 higher than when he won it a couple of years ago. But Brett's already made the point that you know, horses coming in with the sun on their back and fully fit from time in Dubai can sometimes be a little bit ahead of their rivals. And like we've already said, these races will be won by horses that are right now and not necessarily the ones that might be best going forward. So I'm quite confident here that Max Mayhem will win the race for the second time in 3 years, James.
Okay, 8-1 he is. I should say King Power is the name of the owners. I'm still in jumps mode. I'm just about getting onto the flat stuff. So it's all a bit of a... It's that time of year, isn't it, where everything happens at once. Johnny, though, who do we like?
I mean, it's a bit of a tricky race. And I mean, the one I like is for a trainer who's in good form is Heath Johnson-Houghton. There's Balmacara, who last season started things off with a win. But, I mean, the main concern here would be the horse has never run in all weather. And it's just how the horse is going to handle the surface is a bit of an unknown. But bar, you know, the end of the season at Newmarket, he's won three times last season, come second twice, come third once. And I'd be very surprised if he's not hitting the frame at the very least. And he looks a rock solid bet.
Sure. Brett?
Yeah, so we're paying four places each way in this. Mr. Allen is a horse that I quite like. Again, another horse that's come over from the Middle East, was performing very credibly over in Bahrain. Very consistent, you know, he always runs a decent race. And then Paradis, who has got some real smart form on your weather for Alan King. David Probert rides. He's probably a little bit high in the weights now, but, you know you're going to get a good run for your money for him in what's, a massively open race, as I said, where we are paying four places each way.
Okay, let's move on to the last race we'll be looking at Kempton, and a classy race it is as well. This is Virgin Bet Snowdrop Filly Stakes, where at the top of the betting got the classy Soprano, Royal Ascot winner, of course, last season at 8-11, an odds on shot. Shuari at 7-2, another real good performer here for Ollie Sangster. Crimson Advocate 15-2, Rose Prick 11-1, Rubies from Burma for Henry de Bromhead, and Ocean Murphy. Interest to see those two team up at Kempton this weekend. Queen of Atlantis at 28-1, Roman Over 33s, Muddy Mui at 40, Gaiety Musical 80s, and Mercury Day at 80-1. We've got a short price favourite in Soprano, Johnny. Will we want to take this one on?
No, I also don't want to have a bet on her. I mean, I think she should win, and she's the most likely winner of the race, but odds on, I don't need to be getting involved in this time of year when you don't know quite how fit all the horses are. It's quite brave backing something at such a short price, not quite knowing how fit they are. You've got to take a loss at face value, or you know what you hear, and it's like I'd rather not be getting involved at those prices myself. But I do think she probably will win, but I'm happy to watch her win.
Okay, looks like a comfortable fence here sat on there, Johnny. Let's see if Graham feels the same.
Yeah, I'm going to join Johnny on the fence here. I mean, I think this is a really difficult race. The one thing I would say is that I'm really interested to see Shuari back. She, by far, the most interesting horse in the race for me. Obviously, was second in the Fillies Mile behind Ylang Ylang a couple of years ago and hasn't run for 533 days. But great to see her back. And New Bay's progeny have got a very good record on the all-weather at Kempton. I think if you go back over recent seasons, they're 16%, 19 winners. So I'll be quite confident, even though that she's not run on the all-weather, that Shuari would go on it because, as I say, her sire's progeny tend to act well on sand. But I won't back her, but I'm definitely going to be watching with interest, James.
You'd have to say she's probably the most interesting runner who runs all weekend, wouldn't you? Just second in that Group 1 Filly's Mile, but central favourite, considering there's runners from Aidan O'Brien, Andrew Balding had us see the fire in there. So she clearly had the reputation that Newmarket money for two-year-olds is usually pretty spot on. So
definitely. And she beat Fallen Angel, James, didn't she? You know, she beat Fallen Angel at Sandown, and she is a top-class filly herself, wouldn't she, sir?
Yeah, it's that difficult time of year where we're just trying to work out how fit these horses are, but definitely Shuari, a fascinating horse to watch. Where do you sit on it, Brett?
Yeah, I think it's the sort of race that you want to sort of watch back time and time again, because as you said, you know, Shuari might not be fully tuned up for this assignment. You definitely expect her to come on for it. But, you know, you'd imagine this is a stepping stone to hopefully, you know, bigger and better things. I would be inclined to take on Soprano. Yes, you know, she's got some of the best form in the race, and, you know, she's been all over the world, and she's a high class filly. But, you know, this race actually got me reasonably excited for the flat. I thought, actually, this isn't a bad little race, really. Crimson Advocate is the horse I think is certainly of interest for John and Thady Gosden. Had just the one runner for the Clare Haven team, having come over from George Weaver's yard in America last year. Had the one run in the King Charles III at Royal Ascot. You'd imagine that might not have been, that was just sort of in there as a run at Royal Ascot, but she's had it sort of almost a year to acclimatise, get used to a new training regime. So I think you'll see a much more finished article with her on this occasion. And Crimson Advocate for me for new connections could be quite interesting. Not a bad price as well at 15-2. And another one, just to throw into the mix there, you know, we know it's not been the best of years for Peter Chappell-Hyam, but when he gets a good horse, he can certainly train. And this Queen of Atlantis has got some real smarter weather form. She's a big price at around 28-1, but she's probably got to improve a little bit, but she may be able to take advantage of the principals who might not be fully tuned up today.
Okay, well, we might have some strong opinions on the 3:15, but I know the boys do have some selections elsewhere, which we'll be getting to after a quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? with an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, before we go on to our naps, we'll see what the boys fancy away from the ITV cameras. Let's start with you, Graham. What's taking your eye?
Yeah, sticking on the all-weather at Kempton, James, starting in the 350. I was very impressed with the way that American Gal won last time at Wolverhampton. She was wildly impressive, absolutely bolted up by five lengths. And she won on her debut over course and distance, so we know that she's equally effective on polytrack around Kempton. This is a conditions race. She's stepping out a novice company for the first time, but I think she'll be well up to it and could well go on to make her mark in a lot better grade later on this season. And in the 5 o'clock at Kempton, Change Sings is the one that I like. Again, another course and distance winner, loves it around Kempton. And as I've said about three or four times on this show, it's all about which horse is going to be right on the day here, because fitness obviously has to be taken on trust. And it did catch my eye that Eve Johnson Harton had a winner off a break the other day, first time up, which was enough to convince me that her horses are well forward. And I do like trainers that are well forward at this early stage of the season. So that's two for me at Kempton. The 350 is American Girl, and the 5 o'clock is Change Sings.
Thanks, Graham. I think the real winner there is there's none of them a musical, and we had to give in the start of a show.
Come in a chameleon in again.
There you go.
Do you want me to carry on or not? No. Okay.
Let's move on to Johnny very quickly and very more swiftly. Johnny, we know you like to look at all the racing from around the world. Give us a flavour of what is what's happening elsewhere apart from Kempton and Doncaster.
Yeah, the first trip we're going to make is over the Irish Sea to the Curragh. And we've got the Leicester Piggott Gladden Estates, a listed race. And Carl Burke, actually, with all the racing at Doncaster, Carl Burke's actually sending Poet Master over to the Curragh. And he was seriously impressive when winning a Group 2 over course and distance last summer. And if he's anything like that, he should take a lot of beating in this race. I mean, an interesting runner in there is Camille Pissarro for Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Ward. She won the Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère on Arc Weekend. And it'd be interesting to see how she runs. But a lot of the Aidan O'Brien horses need their reappearance. And also at 4 o'clock, we go to France to Saint-Cloud, and Sparks Fly goes for David Lochnane and Laura Pearson. She's won twice at the course in her last three runs. She likes bottomless ground, and it's going to be very soft there. And I think she'll probably win there. And then to finish things off, we're making a trip to Rose Hill down in Australia. And you've got Vauban taking on Dubai Honor of William Haggis's. And it just looks a very, very good race. I mean, interestingly, I mean, as we get with these Australian races nowadays, of the 14 runners, only three of them are Southern Hemisphere bred. Most of them come from France, Ireland or the UK. But, you know, when you've got the good prize money out there for winning these races, it makes sense to send them that direction.
Yep, so that's Poet Master 4 o'clock at the Curragh, Song Clue, Sparks Fly 4 o'clock, and Rose Hill early on in the morning.
I think 5:35 in the morning for anyone who's an early riser.
Yeah, perfect. Brett, what offers have we got this weekend?
Yeah, go on to the website unibet.co.uk and also check out at Unibet Racing for all of the up-to-minute offers. We, of course, have money back offers for the second and third. We're paying six places each way in the Lincoln, four places each way in 240. So, as I said, follow at Unibet Racing for all of the latest offers. And just one horse I'm looking forward to, James, I should mention, from sort of all the way from Rose Hill to a humble Utoxeter, a 355. It's a four-runner novices limited handicap chase. I've seen him this morning at Sam Thomas's, a horse called Range. He is very, very confident this horse will do the business. Obviously, price is not out yet. He'll probably be odds on or maybe just even money. If you can get even money, then that's not a bad price. But Range in the 355, one to keep an eye on.
That's what we want to hear. A bit of jumps in there. Well done, Brett. Good for you for sandwiching it right in at the end. That's what we want to hear. Let's move on to our naps. Graham, what is the best bet for you this weekend?
It's the 225 at Donny, Iberian for me.
Okay, Johnny?
It'll be Whipcracker in the 335 at Doncaster, the Lincoln.
Yeah, we heard you were confident about that one. I'm going to go for Cambu in the 205 at Kempton. This horse, different form altogether on the all weather, and hopefully can do the job for Richard Hughes, who, as we've mentioned, could have a big weekend. And finally, Brett.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Crimson Advocate in the 315 at Kempton for John and Thady Gosden. Just the one running for the trainer, but I think we'll be fully acclimatised now to the UK training. So Crimson Advocate for me in the 315 at Kempton.
Thank you very much to Graham Rodway, Johnny Pearson and Brett Williams. And for you for listening as ever. If you do enjoy these shows, make sure to rate, review and subscribe. And don't miss any of it because it is the Grand National next week. We'll be having a special show looking at the big race. A lot of top tips from around three fantastic days at Aintree. So do join us again at 7 o'clock next Thursday, where hopefully we can find you the Grand National winner. But until next time, enjoy this weekend's racing. Celebrate the return of the flat. And of course, do gamble responsibly.